Are we supposed to turn this on?
Oh, yeah,
my moderator failed. So now y'all probably, y'all hear me a little better now, maybe back there? I don't know. I still don't hear it.
No.
Yeah. Either way, the technology, when we look at these planters, ranges from manual systems all the way to an advanced automated control system. And so it's kind of up to the producer, you know, what they're doing, what they're going to utilize. And we have those ranges all across our state. When we look around, we've got guys that are using manual systems, don't know how to use the manual systems, unfortunately, you know, all the settings and stuff on them. And we've got guys that have the most advanced systems, and it's kind of the same. They're not fully utilizing that. So we just kind of keep that in mind. I was fortunate enough, and he's in the room. We did a multi-year project with Mike Bushermole looking at faster or wider, right? And so I'm going to summarize that year, those few years of work into Georgia really, really quickly and say that we can't go much wider in our state. We can't go much wider on planters because our field size on average is so small. So if you look around our state, typically one of the largest planters you're going to find is about a 12-row planter. And we've got a lot of guys still planting with the 6- and 8-row planters out there, but our bigger guys are at 12-row, and we just don't see much larger than that due to the field size. So if you're limited, you know, to a width of planter due to field size, what do? So you got a couple of options when we're trying to look at increasing field efficiency and field capacity out there, and that's where some of our guys are at. We look at some of our planting conditions typically, and we're trying to get this crop in a very short window so that we can get it up and get it growing before we have some harsh or adverse conditions. So a lot of our guys, you know, we can argue up or down, but it doesn't typically cost more money up front to travel faster. You know, your other option is to buy that second planter, but a 12-row planter is a significant investment in speed. So when we start traveling faster, most of our standard design systems are designed to be operated in that 4.5 to 5.5 mile per hour range. And if we went and surveyed a lot of our producers, I guarantee you they're pushing the top end of that range already with our standard planters. So as we start to increase ground speed with this typical planter, we start to see the performance fall off. I mean, it's straight as that. We look at a manual drive system, and we look at what our emergency is, look at what our plant and seed spacing is. We just see that start to fall apart. So we do have, and we have a lot of producers that are adopting them, but the availability of advanced planter control systems. So they could order a system from factory with 100% ready to go, or they could retrofit an existing planter with a system. And we're going to get into those a little bit deeper. So main goal of this study was evaluate plant emergence and spacing as a function of planting speed, metering system, and delivery system. So we're looking at a couple different things there. Sub-objectives, we evaluated 4 different seed delivery systems. We'll cover that in a minute. Evaluate the effect of metering and downforce system on a crop emergence. And then determine effect of the 3 ground speeds. And so we traveled 6, 8, and 10 miles an hour on plant spacing and emergence of each of the metering and delivery systems. So, you know, if we're going to evaluate this, obviously we can't do this in a plot setup very well. We've got to do this at a production scale. So we have we're lucky enough to have a producer that owned 2 of the 3 planters that we tested in this case, and we'll look at all 3 planters in a minute. We're coastal plain soils, so, you know, probably most of our cotton belt could fall into this unless you're further west in Texas or some of the mid-south. We're a loamy sand soil. I mentioned this earlier, we traveled at 3 ground speeds, and we replicated each speed once per pass. And so I don't have a picture of that here, but this is a very, very large field. It's a pivot or a circular-shaped field. It's got a pivot on it. So as we traveled across that field, we randomized our 3 speeds within that single pass, if that makes sense. And so we gave stabilization time in there. We would trigger the operator to speed up to a certain speed. We had flags in the center of that plot know that he was stabilized at that speed. The equipment was stabilized at that speed. Then he would travel so far, he would see the next flag just change to whatever the other speed was. And we treated that as 1 rep with the 3 speeds, and we replicated that 3 times across the field. So, with all 3 planters. So, 3 12-row planters, with different control systems. And so, I've just called them planter 1, 2, and 3. If you're familiar with planters at all, you'll be able to differentiate pretty quickly what 1, 2, and 3 is. I'm just not doing that here, so I don't get stabbed tonight when we're walking around, you know, downtown or something by one of you guys. So, electric seed metering on planter 1, 6 rows with a speed tube seed delivery system, 6 rows with a fence belt delivery system. So this one was more of a prototype planter, and so we wanted to test those 2 different delivery systems. And, you know, basically the left half and the right half were tubes or fence belt. Planter 2 was an electric seed metering system with a brush belt delivery system, hydraulic downforce system. And I think I missed it, but it's listed. We did have a pneumatic downpour system on planter one. And then planter three was electric metering system, bullseye seed tube, and then a hydraulic downforce control system. So, and on all the pictures that I have here, I should just I should notate, just kind of threw them in there. Y'all look at them. If you want to know what it looks like to go at 10 miles an hour with a planter, I don't have videos in here for time's sake. You can kind of see the dust and the speed of those planters moving across the field when we're going through there. So data we pulled off of the field were from kind of as follows. So as you look at this, you'll see what rows we pulled it from. Planter one, since we were testing two different delivery systems, we had to kind of split that in half again. We pulled from rows 2, 3, and 5. That's the speed tube, and then 7, 9, and 11 for the fence belt. Planter 2, 2, 7, and 11. Planter 3, rows 3, 5, and 9. Crop emergence was collected 1, 2, and 3 weeks after planting from a 40-foot plot from within each of the speeds. And then plant spacing data were collected during the week 3 emergence counts. So this is an extremely, extremely busy slide, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because of that. What I want you to pull off of this slide really quickly is we look at this producer, and we've kind of got this a lot from him. There's a very little difference in this case and from this producer from week 1, week 2, and week 3. And so you can kind of see if you look, your week 1 here, week 2, week 3. And so just so you didn't say, well, he skipped ahead and only showed this certain week, here's the final emergence. So, again, I'm confident, and you can go back and look at that slide with confidence that we didn't have significant differences between those weeks, and that's why you get a look at it. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it. I do want to point out here the reason that yellow or planter number three looks so low, and this is one of those completely unfortunate errors that happened. The producer had a set seeding rate. He wanted to run with that one, and we never got a full clear answer on what that seeding rate was. So take that for what it was. His applied loss, he was not recording somehow, so we didn't get the as-applied file, and we were never able to actually go back and fully know what the seeding rate was for that planter. So we evaluated it on what the other three planters were. That's the best we could do at that time. Either way, leave that for what it is. What I'll point out, a couple of things there. We see as we travel, if you look from the left, we're 6 miles an hour. Middle, we're 8 miles an hour. Far right, we're 10 miles an hour. So as we start looking at this, planter one, seed tube, planter one, fence belt, planter two, and then planter three, we see a little bit of degradation in emergence as we start to travel across with those gravity delivery systems. If we look at the little bit more advanced systems, we don't see, you know, an extreme difference in those. I do see, for some reason, planter two, a little bit of a dip at 8 miles an hour, but then it actually increases back at 10 miles an hour. So, you know, there was a little bit of difference between them, but, you know, nothing extremely different there except for, again, back to that planter three because of seeding rate error. All right, percent doubles. And so I thought this followed kind of probably what you would expect. Planter one with the seed tube, in addition to a pneumatic downforce, you also want to keep that in mind. So we run a pneumatic downforce. We don't have the control out there that we do with that hydraulic downforce. We saw as we sped up, the number of doubles increased pretty dramatically as we got up to 8 and 10 miles an hour. And we can look at any of the other three planters that had one hydraulic downforce and a better control system. So one of the two, and we'll talk about those a little deeper. So let's look at planter one again with that fence belt delivery system. So where we see that gravity tube start to fall apart, you know, really significantly at 8 and 10 miles an hour, that fence belt actually helped to make up for that, even with that pneumatic control or pneumatic downforce system. So we see it kind of overcame that, and we didn't see the percent doubles there did with the gravity. We look at planter number two, again, as hydraulic downforce brush belt delivery system. We see a pretty stable about 4% doubles across through there. And then we look at planter three. So I would go back and say planter three did have a gravity tube on it. I think that bullseye speed tube is designed to run at about 7.5 miles an hour is optimal speed with an angle on it. So we see we do have an increase in doubles, but not as significantly as what we did on that standard seed tube from that other planter. And I think also additionally the addition of that hydraulic downforce in that case reduced row unit bounce down to a level where we didn't see as high a number of doubles either. So, and then coefficient of variation, we look at spacing. So this is basically getting back to our plant spacing and what it looks like. We look at our planter number. I'm just going to start with planter two because it's on the bottom. Again, that was the one with the brush belt delivery system. overall, it had the lowest coefficient of variation. So it had that seed handling system all the way to the ground, had a hydraulic control, downforce control system on it, and all of them had electric seed meters. And so we see that it was relatively consistent all across the board with the lowest coefficient of variation. I also thought that it was really, really different or really unique that when we got up to 10 miles an hour, coefficient of variation actually dropped just a little bit in that. So kind of keep that in mind. We'll move up to that red line, planter number one with the fence belt. So we see a slight increase in coefficient of variation up to 8 miles an hour. But then, actually statistically so, we see that drop back down to where we were traveling at 6 miles an hour and when we were at 10 miles an hour, suggesting that that fence belt, when we get faster, is actually doing a better job at holding the seed spacing as we're placing them in the ground than a gravity tube. And then, as we would look at both the black and the yellow lines there, both gravity tubes, the black line, again, was on the planter with the pneumatic downforce, so showing that probably the additional bounce and lack of control that we had over that pneumatic system compared to that hydraulic system allowed our seed spacing to kind of fall apart a little bit more. And then when we move back down to that yellow line, we see we still lost or still increased variation in our spacing as we sped up, but we were a little bit better when we had a hydraulic downforce control system implemented on it. So with that, very, very quick, but we're pretty much about out of time here. Higher emergence was observed around 6 miles an hour for most of the planters and delivery systems. You know, brush belt delivery system had a higher emergence and lower CV at the 10 mile per hour speed, which, you know, I would say that's where that system's designed to run at. It's pretty good that it's optimizing up at that 10 mile an hour speed. That's suggesting it performed better at faster speeds than it necessarily did down at 6 miles an hour. And we did notice on some of our files as we were looking at percent singulation that it did better at 8 and 10 miles an hour than it did at 6 for singulation. I mentioned this, but due to a miscommunication with seeding rate, planter 3 appeared to have a lower emergence overall. I don't think that's an accurate representation. We've still been fighting to get that data and still don't have exactly what we need. Percent doubles increase of both of the gravity speed tubes. We talked about that. The more advanced seed delivery system had lower percent doubles at all speeds. And then the brush belt delivery system had the lowest CV across all speeds, while the rest of the systems had an increasing coefficient of variation as planter ground speed increased. Except for that fence belt, we saw it drop back off once 10 miles an hour was reached, so we saw that fence belt kind of made up for some of the spacing errors in there. The study and these data suggest faster planting cotton speed can be utilized. So I say as long as we properly utilize an advanced planter control system, set the system right, we can push some of those speeds a little bit faster, maintain plant spacing, reduce CV in spacing there, get emergence up. We do have yield from this field. We've not evaluated it yet. So I think what's really critical there when we look at it is that we got to make sure if we're going to travel at speeds like that, that we do have advanced seed metering, downforce control, and seed delivery systems. So, you know, or a combination there of those systems. We're not going to be able to travel at those speeds with our manual planters and be able to achieve what we're wanting to achieve. So I'm not sure how you have this set. Is this 15 minutes total?
15. We have time for a quick question.
Okay. I've got about 45 seconds if y'all have any questions. Nothing. We have two of the deer planters in Georgia, the Xactimers. The hindrance on those systems is a central field, and a lot of our guys plant peanuts, so they can't multi-use that planter across crops. We are seeing higher interest, no offense to the deer guys in here, but because of that reason, we are seeing interest, and I get calls pretty regularly on some of the precision planting retrofit systems where they can use it across. So it's a mix. We're not seeing a ton of the advanced delivery systems yet, but we are getting high interest in downforce control and electric seed metering at the state of Georgia. Because the guys are wanting to push up to 6 and 7 miles an hour, I think. This is a rare case. This guy wanted to run closer to 10. So.
Did any of the downforces go up and down?
All of these are actually downforce. To my knowledge now, the only system that actually does true upforce, and what we want to call it, is the Ag Leader system. That's the Sure Force, and I know that there's some other I think some of the other systems are looking at releasing those, the only one you can buy right now on the market, and we're looking at evaluating that system this upcoming year. So this area, we don't have a lot of problem needing upforce. Southeast Georgia, we do need upforce a lot of times. So it just depends on where we're at.
Thank you.